KB4CBA, W4NGU.
Phil, and, gosh, I just forgot your prefix, W4NGU, yeah. KB4CBA, how are you doing?
Doing good. I smell Marco's pizza. Are you on a pizza run?
I am, but it's Papa John's.
A bridge on 26 that they've been working on. They fix it and rip it completely apart and fix it again and rip it apart. I don't know what's going on with that thing. I don't know if it's a bad structural problem or what, but I don't think they're ever going to finish with it.
It's called planned obsolescence, Phil. I can't stay long. Haven't heard you in a while. N0TR. Go ahead, Nick.
He's supposed to be out working in his yard, so he's probably just procrastinating. I was down at Isle of Palms this weekend, and they had a big dumpster down there sitting on the side of the road, and it had I'll procrastinate later. Go ahead, Phil.
They know my life's motto. I'm going to have to sue somebody for, didn't have it patented. I guess I can't.
Well, that's a good one. I like it. She's probably procrastinating for what order she has for you, Phil. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, Phil, so what have you been up to? I hadn't talked to you in a while. You come across my mind often, but, I just don't, pick up the phone or hear you on the radio. So, but anyway, things going okay?
Good. Just getting everything done. Daughter getting married middle of next month. So I'm going to have plenty of honeydews between now and then, I'm sure. Thursday, she passed her national boards. So she's a certified dental hygienist with an anesthesiology certificate and all the goodies, and she is ready to clean some teeth.
It's pretty good. We just got a bill from Delta Dental for Bernice's, and it was like $345 for a cleaning. Thank God that we had insurance, so that took care of it pretty good, I think. And I got insurance. But anyway, that's wonderful, Phil. Congratulations, and congratulations on the wedding. That's always a happy time. And I'm over here picking up tools. I had to carve down a hole to where it resembled Bernice's mom's hole that is totally wore out. And I had to do it with a cutting wheel. That stuff's tempered steel. Man, it is really hard. And I'm picking that up, and then I'm going to put together my new lawn sweeper here. So I'll turn you back over to Dave and say 73s. And both of you have a wonderful day. This is N0TR.
All right, Tom. Don't get in too much trouble there. N0TRKP4CBA. And Phil, I am sitting in front of the garage. I'll let you finish it up here for us, and I'm going to have to go. I'll say 73s, and I'll stick around for yours. You definitely got your hands full with the wedding, and I hope things go well there. And I'm glad she got that. I know she can take a big sigh of relief, because I can remember when Beth had to take the test that the nurses take, and you know, and she passed it the first time, but, you know, that was a biggie for her, so. But anyway, so I'll say 73s. I'll stick around for your final, KP4CPA.
Tom, good to hear you, too. Glad you chimed in there. But, yeah, there's a real shortage of them. I, of course, wouldn't say on the air, but she got a salary I just couldn't believe and a sign-on bonus that blew my mind. But they had people coming to recruit. They don't take 20 students a year, and they had people, companies from out of state coming in, buying them uniforms and for free and all kind of stuff, try to get them to come to whatever state it was they operated in. One company didn't even have offices in North or South Carolina, and they bought them a uniform and fed them a big steak lunch and said, you know, come to work for us. I just didn't believe there was that kind of shortage, but, man, they are screaming for them. She can go anywhere she wants, and that's good. That's good. She won't come home and say, can I have some money? I hope not anyway. But with what houses cost now, I guess they're going to need it. And then she gets, she actually walks across the stage and gets married the next week. So that's good. I have the whole upstairs of my house back for a ham shack. We'll see you guys later. W4 Never Give Up, clear.
For ULP and monitoring.
For ULP, KO4NUE. Hey, Alexander, how are you, sir?
And yourself?
Stuck down here in traffic in downtown Greenville, but other than that, doing pretty well. How about yourself?
Good. I've been kept quite busy lately. I just haven't been, glad I got a chance to be on the air today. I just haven't been on much. Been more focused on my hobbies in the garage, but other than that, I've been doing good.
What kind of hobbies you got going on?
Repair. I'm learning a little bit of welding and metalworking.
Good deal. Good deal. Well, you doing any engine work as far as just what disassembly or length work?
Small engines, so I'll rebuild them, fix them whatever they need. So, yeah, I have several. I have a Weeder that I've rebuilt and several others that I fixed. I've printed in a small engine repair shop for a little while, so yeah. I mean, I get pretty much anything that I can get my hands on, I'll try to learn on, repair, and fix.
Deal. Well, I do some got a machine shop, and I do some engine builds with the machining process. Got a couple of videos up on YouTube, but that's a very, very rewarding job to 1,300 pieces in a motor, and to make it all work together, that takes a little bit of mastery.
So, machining-wise, so what do you basically, so you machine custom parts, and you said you do some stuff, and just can you explain that a little bit more, please, if you don't mind?
I'm in a bad spot. Can you copy me, Alexander?
And clear, you're coming in perfectly fine on my end.
Let's see, so, machine work as far as I don't grind crankshafts. That takes those grinders are special people, let me word it that way. So I'm just not one of those guys, but cylinder bore, valve jobs, seat and guide angles, things like that, you know. Yeah, I've got most of the equipment to handle that kind of stuff.
But if engine rebuilding, then yeah. I mean, I personally, with my when I've worked on small engines, I've enjoyed rebuilding. That's probably been one of my favorite things to do on them. So, yeah, maybe I'll get more in that in the future. But yeah.
My favorite, what's your favorite engine? I know you're doing small stuff, but 2-stroke, 4-stroke, which one?
No. And more confident working on the 2-stroke, but I do enjoy 4-strokes too. I don't know quite as much about them, but I get the basics, you know, how they operate. I've learned a little bit more recently where I've torn down a seized up riding lawnmower engine, so that really expanded my knowledge a lot more. So I haven't rebuilt any four strokes yet, but I have done several two strokes.
Good deal. Good deal. Well, I used to do some instruction for the military on engine work. It's kind of how I got started, I guess. But if you ever need any help, you know, let me know. I'll be glad to help you any way I can. But four strokes are mine, and my favorite engine would be called a Thunder Pumpkin.
Thunder Pumpkin, what is that?
Pumpkin is a big engine that is used to be manufactured by Alice Engine Company. And they're primarily big industrial engines, you know, big enough you can walk in. And they're always painted bright orange. And have a very unique sound. And just incredibly powerful. And you walk up next to one while it's running, and you can feel the ground move while it's running. So that's the kind of power I like to be a part of.
Oh, that sounds really impressive. So do you have any now that you work on, or is that something that you have done in the past, or what?
The big stuff is just, actually, the bigger stuff's a lot easier to work on than smaller stuff. You just have to have more expensive tooling to move it around. That's all that means. But I think the biggest I've ever worked on would be 16-cylinder Thunder Pumpkins.
What were those machines on? Were they like more generator style or what?
Primarily generate power generation. Steady, you know, steady RPM, but able to carry, you know, varying loads with not a lot of struggle.
For station ID. Yeah, I mean, that really sounds impressive. So you say you still have a machine shop now. So what currently do you do or work on?
Alexander, do you copy? I'm struggling here, but I just want to make sure you can hear me.
Still coming in loud and clear.
Last couple of engines I've done was the last one I published on YouTube was had a customer from Germany contact me and want a engine built for a Willys Jeep from World War II. And so he's in Germany, sent the engine to me, and I built the engine on YouTube so he could follow along during the build process. And it's, you know, kind of neat. We ended up with the Jeep, as a matter of fact. But just kind of neat to me. I still go back and look at the videos a couple of times, but just kind of neat to work on the smaller stuff, you know, and just think about where I've been with the bigger stuff.
Yeah, do you have a YouTube channel that's, like, open to the public that you share these videos on? YouTube channel that anyone can access that you share these videos on?
Go to YouTube and just type in Chad Hightower, and you can see the video. There's a bunch of other videos on there of other engines, but the one you're looking for will be the M38 series. Pretty interesting stuff. Just kind of do the physics of it, what's happening in the engine, how it happens, and the machine work along with it.
That I try to learn as much as I can. I mean, I've kind of been more self-taught a lot of the stuff that I, especially with metalworking, that I figured out because, I mean, my dad really isn't much of a metal worker at all or anything mechanical, so I've tried to learn as much as I can on my own, and especially I found YouTube to be very helpful. So, yeah, I'll definitely check that out.
Well, my son is, he runs the shop. And he does some pretty fancy welding for a company that real picky welds, you know, Heliart. So if you, you know, you ever want to see anything with the welding machine, he'd be glad to show you. But just saying, if you want to learn a little bit or nobody help you, give me a holler. I'll be glad to help you where I could.
If you're up to that, I'd definitely like to learn a little bit more. It's not that no one helps me, but I have had several generous people who have got me started, but for the most part, I work on my and learn on my own. So yeah, I'd love to. If you ever have a time or something that you could be available, let me know, please.
Yeah, well, I'm good up on QRZ, and I think your dad's probably got my number, so you can reach out that way. But anyway, well, that's a good profession. If that's something you're interested in, I think every young man needs to know what an engine does while you still can. I'm not sure how many 4-strokes or 2-strokes we're going to have here in the next 20 years. But for now, it's nice to know how they work and what they can do.
I probably will, if there's 4-strokes and are still around, I definitely would probably look into becoming an auto mechanic. I'd probably want to specialize in something. I'm not sure what yet. But small engines and a little bit. I've done a little bit of work on cars, not much, but I've enjoyed that and metalworking also. So yeah, I'll probably pick something in that field eventually.
Well, like I said, I did some mechanic work for years, and I don't know. That's a bone breaking career. When you're young, it's not that big of a deal. You kind of enjoy it. But as time goes on, your body gets a little older. It did make you pay in a heartbeat, you know, especially when it's cold weather. You can get into the machine side of things where you're the one that's machining the engines. That's where the money is. It's not nearly as difficult either. Use your brain instead of your brawn.
I like that style of metalworking, but one thing I really see that I miss with that is the troubleshooting. I personally also like the manual labor side of it, but I also like to be able to figure out why it's not running or, what's the matter with the machine. So, yeah, I mean, it'd be nice if I could find a way to incorporate the best of both fields eventually, but I don't know if that ever be possible or not.
It's KO4NUE with KO4ULP. I think, having strengths on both sides of that street is invaluable, you know. I think the more you work on the cars and breaking joints and, you know, when you feel that pain for a while, you kind of want to think, okay, well, let me just work on something that's inside an air-conditioned shop and I can machine it and not break all these knuckles, that kind of thing. Now, that's where the money is, really.
As I said, I'd love to come down to your shop and learn more about that. I have not really seen much of the machining side of things. That the only really metalwork that I've done is with a small Amazon welder that I've been working with and trying to learn a little bit of welding. But, I'd definitely like to see more of the milling and, you know, processes and stuff like that, because I don't have much experience in those at all.
Some of that, Alexander, like I said, I'm in a really bad spot. Can you still copy me?
Loud and clear. I mean, it might be possibly on my end, because I can hear you perfectly fine. I know I've gotten complaints before, and I think it might be something with my microphone, so, yeah.
No, I don't think it's you. I'm just in a bad spot here in Greenville. It's just a whole lot of interference around, but if you can copy, then, yeah, so, at any rate, check out the video. You might learn something, might not, who knows. But I think that's very commendable that I think that's a really good way to go. KO4HKX, Mr. Patrick, touch base with him. He's one of the best mechanics I think I've ever met. He can He can fill you in, let you know what that's all about.
Yeah, I've chatted with him some too, but yes, I especially like getting to know as much people as I can in this field. Right now I want to learn as much as I can versus metalworking, small engines. I like to get a little bit of carpentry too, just to have a well-rounded knowledge of more of the trade field. So yeah.
Absolutely. I think that's very smart. My dad calls them a jack of all trades and a master of none. But if you know a little bit about a lot, you can go a long way.
My goal, of course, I would like to master at least one, but at least have a knowledge of all of them. Because, I mean, I can, if I don't decide I don't really like one of the careers that I choose, I always have more options.
That's very wise. Very wise. But I never could get into carpentry. I don't know. There's something about that engine that, you know, being able to control all of that and be the one that knows how to manipulate that. And that's always been an incredible responsibility, and also incredible amount of reward to know that, you know, not many men that can do that, and that's very, always very rewarding for me.
I really find that work rewarding also. It just brings satisfaction after you've rebuilt an engine or fixed something and hear it purring again. I don't think I'd ever get that enjoy carpentry as much as I do filling around. I just like to have a knowledge of it, you know.
Right, so let me make sure I got it. It's a funny story is I retired from the military and opened a machine shop to start building engines, and this dirt track racer come one time. He's wanting me to build an engine. He did some dirt track racing. And I don't know, I just put a lot of pride in an engine when you work on it for months. And dirt track racer don't care. They want to win the race. They don't care what it costs if it blows the engine. Well, he ran it for about 2 weeks and brought it back to the shop in grenade form, if you know what grenade form is. And I said right then, and he was just excited. Like, build me another one. And I just, no more dirt track racers. Not going to do it, because see all your hard work laying there in pieces. Just, I couldn't do it.
I understand that. That would be difficult after you spend that much time on it. And, yeah, I've had experience with grenade form. I've got a lawn tractor from K2RCL that he got from someone else who ran it without oil, and that thing has been completely blown up. It was seized up, and I figured out why, because the connecting rod from the piston to the drive shaft broke off and jammed itself in between the drive shaft and the cylinder wall. So, yeah, I mean, it was completely busted with a few cracks in the bottom of it, too, so I'll have to find a new engine for that tractor.
Right. So, I see you've had the britches off of one, I see. So, you're right. That's pretty interesting to be able to see the catastrophe that creates. But just think now, if you take a look at all that damage and think, okay, I've got the skill to put that metal back together and put material where it's gone. I can weld that back in, and then I can take a machine and machine it back out to tolerance and make everything fit the way it's supposed to. Now that is very rewarding.
So, I mean, how far gone does an engine have to be to where you can't really machine it back, or can you pretty much take anything and make it back to where it's like new?
Good rule of thumb is when it's in pieces, you just need to kind of walk away. especially if, you know, there's holes in the block. You know, when you start looking at journals and holes and cylinders, and you look at them from a thousandths of an inch point of view, metal moves. You can't always see it, but when you measure, you know, that's so far out of tolerance. I don't think I can do anything with that. But normally, when it's in pieces, it's time to walk away.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I didn't expect to ever be able to fix that engine. Of course, that's if I got the whole new bottom part of the engine to replace. But yeah, the engine definitely was in pieces. There was a whole bunch of little pieces from the. I appreciate you telling me this. I really enjoy learning, and this has been very educational.
Next time you have one tore down like that and you see what you're going to find, Alexander, is that the lack of oil is not what seizes the engine. It's the cause, but it's not why it seizes. What happens is lack of oil creates a friction between the crank and the rod, and the rod begins to become magnetic, and when it becomes magnetic, debris falling off of the two rotating assemblies sticks to the rod, and that creates more friction and more heat until it locks. So next time you're in an engine, look at the rod cap that goes around the crankshaft. If it's purple or has, you know, peacock colors on it, stick a magnetic field indicator to it. If it's got a magnetic field to it, need to straighten that up, because it's going to collect all that debris around that rotating assembly and end up costing you a lot of time and money. So just pay attention to that. You'll see it, especially in lawnmowers.
Yeah, definitely watch out for that.
Send me an email, or like I said, I think your dad's got my number, and I'll be glad to show you around a little bit. But at any rate, Alexander, I'm going to let you go. Nice talking to you. It's been a while since I've heard from you. And how's the Tintec going? Is it still running? Talking to you, bud. 7-3, and we'll see you later on. Skill 4 NUE, clear and but mobile.